Mick, how are you?
Very well, Rowie, yourself?
What are you doing right now? Where you at?
I'll tell you what I'm doing, mate. I'm sitting on a chair, semi-naked, getting ready to go to the All-Australian with no Carlton players there. So do you reckon I'm confused?
So you're in your Reggie White front?
I've got... My wife's getting dressed in front of me. That's fine. She's totally dressed. I've got no pants on, trying to put one sock on. The shoes are a bit hard to put on when I'm talking to you guys. So, look, what if you don't mind, I'll just keep going while you talk.
Mick, unplugged.
Painted a picture.
Well, hang on, Mick. We just got a text straight through. You know we're interactive. Boxers or briefs?
Well, tonight or generally. I like the box. It's a bit like Jerry Seinfeld, you know, the old Kramer that's hanging out there, Jerry. Well, I don't mind that, but get rid of the box. Get rid of the brief.
Why we love Mickey Malthouse, eh? Unplugged. Hey,
much.
Let's start here. Port upset Frio. You tipped that last week. Bang.
I just thought that, you know, this is what people tend to forget. You know, it's interesting. I've spoken to a few people today, obviously at the football club. They had magnificent form for early season. Magnificent form. No, I think they're undefeated, you know, deep into the season, weren't they? Then they had their fall off. Now they're coming back. They're in the same stage as they were early season. And I think they're frightening with their run. They've got great belief. If there's going to be what we may call a turn up this weekend, I think the weather's going to be pretty good down here. I'm with Port. I think they can really. I'll tell you one thing that if Hawthorn, and they're not mugs, Hawthorn, but if they make the blue of trying to play unfit players, they will. Port players will terrorise them with their run.
Cyril or no Cyril?
Well, you could look. I love Cyril, but you, not against Port. You can't go in against him. Look, you talk with a hamstring, they'll break it in half.
Yeah. I mean, as great as he is, Mick, you can't take that risk, can you?
Well, I've got a theory on finals. You just got to be so careful about taking players in that are that have got muscle problems. You know, look, there's always going to be the facial fracture that you don't run on your face for starters. Mm-hmm. So I reckon that one's dismissed. You've got sore knees and ankles. Well, look, you know what? It's probably a Panadol before the game fixes out. The muscle strains are something different because once they go, they go. There's muscle. I think players determine themselves. Have they got soreness or they got a genuine injury? And the older you get, the more you realise what you've got. You know your body. Yep. You can get through. You can't get through. I reckon Sue would probably be a little bit of self-doubt there. He hasn't played a game going into a sudden-death preliminary final and saying, look, if I get strong enough playing the grand final, we win. If I don't get, I could let the side down here. I wouldn't do it with a muscle.
Yeah. Have you ever had to make that call? I mean, it's a really tough call for a coach to make.
Yeah, look, I have. I made a call with Brett Heddy at West Coast in 92 when he'd gone through the process of, that was his first hamstring, I think, and he'd gone through it, and we'd stretched him out to his, in those days, the old 21 days, whatever it was. Yep. He got through full training. I played him. He played half forward. I put him into the middle on couch. He tore couch to pieces, stopped him, and we won the game. But basically through him being able to take couch out of the game. Now, I was playing that card that there was no tomorrow. You know, I thought he'd get through, but I didn't know how he'd get through on his fitness. But a very courageous player and had a great job. There's been others, but nothing to the point where you say, did someone break down because of that injury? No. There's certain players that have played and probably didn't play to their top because they may have had some doubt. But in the deep end of the final series, there was a question about me with Ben Reid in the 2011.
Yep.
Ben Reid had ticked all the boxes and he got a new injury that was, he still got through the match, but it was debilitating. And under the circumstances of the role, I wouldn't have any hesitation taking doctors, fitness advisors and Ben's word that he would go through. And he got through the game, but he didn't play as well as he nor I wanted him to.
I tell you what, if Cyril Rioli was even 80% fit and he got the all clear and he could wear that green jacket and come on in the last quarter, he'd have my vote.
But, Ro, you don't know he's going to come in the last quarter. He could come in the first quarter.
Well, that's true.
Finals have got a the issue with that is that if someone goes down early and you've got to put him on, he's got to get through four quarters of hard gut bust running against the best running side in the competition.
Yeah, okay, well said. So that's Port over Hawthorn. What about Sydney Kangaroos?
I'd love to have, you know, I get on so well with Brad. He's just such a ripping bloke. North boys, I've coached a couple of North boys in the Australian side, and then I've coached a couple of the Sydney boys in the Australian side. I've got a great admiration for both sides. The fairy tale finish would be North winning. I think on that ground, and I'll say about this that ground, it is a rugby ground, and it'll be cut to a rugby length because there's finals on this weekend. They will play on a wet ground that the grass is longer than normal, and I think that I just can't see North getting over the line, albeit the fact that their heart could, but I reckon that manpower and the ground itself will beat them.
Boomer Harvey, should have he been cited?
No.
Yeah, I knew you'd say that. And we don't want players being missed or rubbed out for accidental head clashes, and you and I have been on the same page all year on that one.
I just can't. Boomer's one of the blokes I had in 2008, and I've texted him this week to say, look, I sincerely hope, one, that you're there, you get have a good week, you get off, and you're there next Saturday. And I generally mean it, because I just don't see the relevance of a bloke missing a final for that incident. Because we've seen too many during the year that appear worse than that, and there's been no charge. And a little bit of blood should never, ever warrant a suspension. The blood is incidental. It's a clash of heads. I think Selwood to go up today, I think, is... I hold him in the highest regard, Selwood.
Mm-hmm.
And he is a prize fighter. He'd probably never win a world title because he'd go on the blood count by around four because he bleeds. I mean, there's some great boxers don't get through to the 10th round because they bleed. He's one that probably never gets through to the 5th round because he just bleeds. And I think that's such an insignificant thing, a little bit of blood. You know, it just happens to be outside his body, not in.
Mickey was dumb. He was done. I mean, I understand the love for Boomer Harvey, and he's a great player. You don't want to see him missing, but seriously, if he was playing under you, you'd have ripped him a new one, surely, because that wasn't smart.
Well, I can understand why he did it. He was going to block his potential receiver in Selwood from receiving the ball. Geelong do throw that ball around a fair bit. He blocked him within, I think it's probably 6 or 7 metres, maybe a half a metre to a metre outside the legal thing, but you can't really, if you're going to start getting that, you know,
technicals,
I think that we've got a real problem. You say 5 metres, but as long as it's in the play. Now, you've got to remember, Barry Hall played in the grand final when it happened 50 metres off the ball because it was worked that he was in the play. He was the next choice of kick from the Sydney boy. He got rid of his opponent and got off and played. Now, I know that's a long time ago. That's nearly 8 or 9 years ago. But, you know, we've got to be consistent with what we've seen. That's why my big brief on this thing is you've got to have consistency, and the only way to have that is precedent. And if you're going to ignore precedent, then you're going to have a hodgepodge of ideas going through your mind every week, and it's going to be different. If you've got something to draw on, then you can say, well, hang on, we let a player off this. The blood's incidental in this instance. It's got nothing, surely got nothing to do with the hit or the bump. Nothing to do with it.
And that's exactly what Boomer's case is. He's saying disregard the blood, disregard all of that. You know, if he didn't bleed, he wouldn't be cited. And you know what, Hawkins, the week before the jumper punch, if that jumper punch made him bleed in the brow, he would have got cited. See, now that's not fair, Byron.
But we've known it since day one.
But Bone, take the Hawkins one. Which one was more deliberate, and which one would have hurt the player more?
Yeah, look, and Mick, I find myself defending it when, you know, you play under a certain system and now you're watching it.
You're a warrior,
you're talking about this. We are true. Stephen, shut up.
You're another one. But, you would have got through to the eighth. You would have got through to the eighth. You wouldn't have gone through the ninth.
No, I'm a bleeder, Mick. Absolutely, I'm a bleeder. So,
Bone in the nose, he's a bleeder.
And Rowe, you would have got through the tenth because no one could cover the areas of the ring like you could have.
Correct. See, there you go.
He'd been punched around the ring. I don't know, mate.
What?
Mick, I just think it was so... You nearly get a game for being dumb. I mean, you've been out for 3 weeks. I mean, seriously, Boomer, you have to be better than that. In the game today, I understand the way we played the old days, but the game today doesn't allow it. He was dumb.
Yeah, well, I think we, you know, I just have this feeling that they'll downgrade it.
Oh, I hope they do. I hope they do. Hey, Mick, you're off for the All-Australian team. It's going to be announced tonight. There's going to be a lot of first-timers. But you said Brycey Gibbs was in the squad. He's not in the team.
He's in the 40. Yeah. And I said to him today, you're going. He said, no, apparently they don't get the ticket if they don't get part of it. So every count, every player that goes in there looks like he's part of the 22. So you don't, there's no guesswork.
Well, I think Brody Smith's going to get in, Daniel Talia, Robbie Gray, Eric McKenzie. There's going to be a lot of first-timers, which I think's great, Mick.
Great, fantastic, and also positional. I think, Glenn Jagg is one of my better player relationships that I've had, and I enjoy Glenn, and I said to him, hey, you blokes, because he's part of the the decision-makers, and I said to him, mate, just start picking players in position. You know, you can't just have your lollies and your chocolates. You've got to be able to have a little bit of intestinal fortitude and make decisions on these blokes and give them positions where they actually play. Well, I know, Mick, we understand that, but you know, you've got so many great players. Well, playing where they play, like Robbie Gray is a walk-up start in every side. So he's got to play in the role he's played for Port most of the year. You know, if that's forward mid, playing forward mid. If Tarly is does he play deep back or does he play high back? I know the players are all over the shop, but he's got to take one of the key areas because he's had a fantastic year, you know. So, but it's very interesting. It wouldn't be an easy selection. Let's face it. I mean, you can just about pick another 22 and have a great game against one of them. Really,
Mick. We obviously see Jacobs through rose-coloured glasses. I got the stats out of Sandilands' year and Jacobs' year. There is nothing between them. But then we asked each other, we'll pick one. And we both picked Sandilands. Where do you sit on that?
Well, I thought Sandilands was a difference in the first half, and I thought Lobie really took it up to him.
And I
thought, you know, if there was a turning point in the game, it was his defensive ruck work at the stoppages that allowed Port to get back in the game. Now, so Sandilands to me was a very good player in that final. If I look at Jacobs here in isolation, he has been outstanding. I mean, he got stolen from Carlton. Just another one.
come on, Mick.
So, under those circumstances, I'm going to be saying that. No, I think Jacobs is very, very stiff. Yeah. Very stiff indeed.
And
why not carry two ruckmen? I mean,
that's
if he's been that dominant, is there some sort of criteria that says you Sandilands going to ruck all day, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. Hey, talking about ruckmen, I read this today, so it's not a rumour, and I know you hate rumours and don't like dealing in it. Are you guys looking at Dean Cox?
You can be the first to know it. I actually spoke to Coxie only about the fact that if we spoke to him about playing, it would be on the basis of being a rookie and a rookie that actually can play senior football's knee. Because we want to develop our ruckman, and with a rest, a little bit of rest over summer, find a bit of appetite. Because what he wants to do is coach. And I said to him, look, I'd be quite happy for him to come through and we give him opportunity to coach and this sort of stuff. I spoke to him, he said, look, his body's gone, he's lucky to get out of bed without sort of getting pushed out. And I said, look, mate, you've got to read the body. And he was the first to say, look, I'd be letting everyone down. I said, look, good, nothing ventured, nothing gained. We weren't totally sold on the whole lot anyway. We just wanted to have a look and see what he thought. He's a ripping bloke. We spoke for a long time in regards to life and football and what's next on his agenda. And I think Coxie's got his head screwed on. I think that if he stays in Perth, I'd love him to work for West Coast so he can get that opportunity perhaps to start to develop his repertoire as a coach, because there's not a lot of tall coaches, if you haven't noticed, in the competition.
Yeah.
I think it's a bit of a tragedy that we tend to overlook certain types. We stereotype the coach on the basis of what's happened, not what's going to happen. And I find that a little bit poor.
Mick, why is that? You make a great point. I mean, I'm trying to think of a ruckman that's made it as a coach.
Well, all the tall ruckman we played with were
John Nichols. John Nichols.
Nick? Yeah.
Coached a premiership, I think, in the 72. No, that one I'm in Brassy. I'm not too sure who was coaching 72. But it may well have been Big Nick.
He came to Bays in 75, I reckon, too, yeah. Big Nick. Yeah.
Yeah, look, I'm not 100% sure that there are a lot of tall players that become coaches, and I'm really at a loss to say why. Do they see the game differently? I don't think we've given kudos to players that have been dominant players and worked out why are they dominant. You know, is it natural talent, or is it because they've worked it out? And you generally find, look at Cox. He was drafted as a rookie. So was Sandy Lance. So they've worked their way through. They've worked out what they have to do to be a good footballer. And when you've worked it out, then you should be able to work it out for other people while you've become a good footballer. So I think we might be a bit, probably just a bit hesitant, and I don't know why.
Hey, Mick, before we let you know, I know you're off the All-Australian dinner tonight. How's Triggy settling in? Say good day to him from us over here.
Oh, we will. He's finding his way around town. He's had his daughter over buying everything up. All the clothes, looking at all the clothing stores and that sort of stuff. He's a ripping bloke. The good thing is I don't like doing comparisons because I just think that because you tend to praise one up, you tend to think that someone else is missing out. So all I can say is that by and large, I've had some fantastic CEOs, I can understand why Adelaide were reluctant to let him go and how he did. He's very well organised. He's approachable. He's got a great mindset for the future, and I think he's going to be an absolute beauty for us.
Well, Mick, thanks again for your time. Enjoy tonight. Now we were laughing about because Selwood's up with testimony with Boomer Harvey. Have you seen the movie Something About Mary?
Well, I have. What's that got to do with it?
We've got a bleeder.
I tell you, that is the funniest movie I've ever seen, Mick. Did you roll around like
true.
Me?
That's true. Yeah, well, I did roll around for different reasons. Yeah.
Well, the reason I'm playing
it.
You're sitting there in your jocks. Just be very careful when you get dressed, Mick. That 3-piece suit.
We got a bleeder.
Well done, Mick.
Look after yourself, guys, and I'll look forward to talking to you next week before the Brownlow.
See you, Mick.
Mick Malthouse there.